Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by David Buick, who's a senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, David?
Good morning to you, Zach. All the better for hearing from you, kind sir.
That's very kind of you to say so. Right, we've got President Xi and President Trump speaking on Thursday. Is that the highlight or the possible low light of the week?
I think it's a very key meeting, I really do, because I think the rhetoric has dropped in terms of veracity quite a bit, which I think is a good thing. And I really enjoyed the interview that Lionel Barber of the FT and Gillian Tett had also with President Trump. And I think what came across very strongly was that, forget the twitting and the tweeting and all that sort of thing, is that there's much more depth to President Trump than we perhaps want to give credit for, and that he has got an array of pretty decent advisors. And obviously this North Korean situation is incredibly important. And I think rather than he being jingoistic and saying, well, if President Xi doesn't want to help me, then we'll go it alone against North Korea, I think that's just another piece of rhetoric which I don't think we need to worry too much about. What I think is very important is that some kind of a relationship, particularly in terms of trade, where we hope that President Trump will adopt a slightly less protectionist attitude towards China, which he's currently done to date, because I think he may have to if he really wants some help in regard to this complete maniac that runs North Korea at the moment, where he's all making us feel extremely nervous. And we can't be more than two or three years away before he has the nuclear capability of landing one perhaps on the west coast of North America, which is ridiculous talk because we all know it's the beginning of the end if that happens. But it would be very, very important that these constructive conversations, hopefully with a round of golf at one of his lovely golf clubs in Florida, will be proved to be very productive.
Well, there are a few points there. I mean, much of the anti-China rhetoric was part of his electioneering campaign, which, as we've seen, most of the things he's tried to put into practice since then have not happened. The other issue with North Korea, it's perhaps better the Chinese try and deal with that one, just to clear that particular issue, especially as given the accuracy of North Korean missiles, it's more likely that a missile aimed at America will land in China. And so it really is down to the PR event of Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but there's a price to pay for that. I think when you call upon President Xi to say, look, we really need you, you're the driving force. If anybody's going to stop North Korea going off message or going off peace, it's you, not us. So if, to date, as I understand it, China's been very reluctant, apart from to make the odd remark that it doesn't wholly approve of what is happening. They really want to stay out of the limelight of this one. But I think if he's going to be asked to step up to the plate and make an official statement, there's going to be a quid pro quo in regard to trading, as regards trade generally, and also currency protection. And there's not for free in life, as you well know, Zach. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
I get them all the time, but I know what you're saying.
I'm sure you do, but I mean...
The final point, actually, which I just missed out there, was one of Trump's battles in the last, year and more, has been with the mainstream media. Is this the interview or the discussions with our friends at the Financial Times? Is that showing that the Cold War is starting to break now?
No, I think he probably feels that the Financial Times is a respected paper on an international basis. Its domestic circulation in terms of hard copy in the quarter of a day is very slim, but its influence in terms of editorial input and content and also online is extremely powerful and strong. And I think now that it's owned by the Nikkei, it'll get even stronger. And because of Donald Trump's problems with the New York Times and the Washington Post and also with CNN and others, he is just going to quietly select certain people that he thinks that he can have some sort of ongoing dialogue that is respected around the world. But as he made it very clear to Lionel Barber, I wouldn't have won the US president election without Twitter. So if anybody thinks that's going to be binned and we're going to have a conventional dialogue going on with the world's press, I think you better dream on and think again. It's not going to happen.
Well, maybe
I think he's just going to be very Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, maybe he should have a chat with a respected editor of the Evening Standard. He's somebody who's quite big on the world stage as well.
Well, maybe Mr. Osborne could probably be, you know, in his things to do, on the first 10 things to do. But again, that would probably be considered, even though it's a very powerful paper, as a provincial paper, responsible for what goes on in London and not what goes on internationally.
Right, finally, yesterday was the first day of the new quarter, serious stuff here now. A rather flat start to that. Is that significant in any way?
I think it is significant to the degree that I think there are two key things that are going to happen, maybe three, that are going to happen in the second quarter. First and foremost, having tripped over at the first hurdle, but not fallen, President Trump has to deliver or show very strong signs of delivering on infrastructure spending to up to $1 trillion and also tax cuts. Because, to be honest with you, we are where we are in the US main indices and where we are in Europe based on hope and expectation and not on reality. So if he fails to deliver these things, and I don't think Congress is by any means a pushover on these issues, we may see a fair pullback on equity valuations. We didn't get what we wanted yesterday in terms of car sales. I think they were very disappointing. I thought PMI was pretty average. And we'll know by, I think, the 20th of April, Zach, what the quality of US earnings are, because we'll have a good amount of the banks are out. We'll have the likes of Google and Yahoo and Apple and Exxon. So we'll have a very broad spectrum. Now, we're told that S&P earnings profits are likely to be up 11% on average for the second quarter. I hope that's right, because if it's anything lower than that, again, that's not something that I would see particularly positive. The other thing is, of course, interest rates, whether there is a follow-through on the last increase that we've had from the Fed. And I think everybody will be looking to see what happens with non-farm payrolls this Friday. We're expecting 175,000 jobs to have been created in the month of March, which is down from the 235K that we had the month before. Those are the three key things I perceive. I think any real influence on Brexit, unless things get very nasty over the divorce proceedings, and when you consider they're not even prepared to have a dialogue with us until May, which I find personally astonishing. But if they're all chilled out and laid back like that, good luck to them. So those are the main issues that I think are going to affect investors in the next few weeks.
David Buick, Senior Market Commentator at Panmure Gordon, thank you very much for joining us today.